you.
So we can all agree that West Ham playing on Monday night is fucking shit.
It is fucking shit.
Oh. Oh my god. I don't know.
Nobody's going to hear what noise that was. So we're back from a week's break because international duty is fucking shit and Clive was travelling. So we
didn't do
an episode. Thank you. Yeah, so let's get into it.
It's very late.
Yeah, it's very, very late. We're tired. Some of us played football. Some of us watch football. Some of us haven't slept since the team got an unexpected win. No guesses for who that is.
Mitchell.
And we'll start with them. Manchester City, Tottenham. Luke, take it away. Oh. Not that anyone wants to hear this.
Okay, yeah, I guess not. You know, how do I start this? What a game. What a game. I was, don't get wrong, first 10, 15 minutes, I was a little bit worried. Haaland didn't have his shooting boots on. Thank fuck for that. He left them at home. But performance. What a performance from Tottenham. And I don't say that often. It's just solid. Solid all round. The team was phenomenal. They were like possessed. Like drug tests need to be done on Tottenham. Yeah. drug tests at the end of that game. They were just, I mean, come on, at the beginning of the game, who looked at that lineup and was like, Tottenham are fucked? Like every
your centre halves, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, everyone thought Tottenham are going to concede in this game. Like they were already a bit, you know, thingy at the back, even with the best back four that we've got. You know, sticking Ben Davis and Dragosin in there. Dragosin's been making mistakes left, right, and centre. And then Ben Davis has always been good for us, I'd say, as a cover. He's always done well, but he was possessed as well. Like,
do you think that's why he played two out and out defensive midfielders as well in Saar and Bissouma?
Yeah, he had to. He had to. If he didn't, it would have been game over. I think, as I said to you before, Clive, is I always got annoyed when he played like two defensive midfield players against teams like Ipswich, Crystal Palace and stuff like that. Because it's like, well,
it's the old Southgate model, isn't it?
Like, yeah, it's ridiculous sometimes. It's like you don't see the big teams doing that. They have the one defensive midfield player, or if they're playing two, they've got the one that just is like box to box.
Yeah, one plays as an eight rather than a four or six.
It's just up and down, up and down, up and down. But with Tottenham, it's like, well, I'm just going to sit back, both of them, and they're going to just do fuck all sometimes. And it doesn't fit in well. But Maddison helped him defensively. In the game, he was everywhere. His passing was phenomenal. His finishing was quality. You think he was a striker with those finishing.
His second goal was superb.
Oh, so good. Kulusevski. Bloody hell.
Your explosion noises.
Mate, you saw the game, yeah? If you watched the game,
I watched the first half and then I was like, I'm done. I'm out.
Typical Arsenal fan. But mate, what a game. I can't moan at anyone in that game. Everyone was so good, and that's the quality we want for the rest of the season now.
You're not going to have that for the rest of the season because you're Tottenham.
Well, that's it.
That makes no sense.
I literally said like last week or the week after, the week before, sorry, that Tottenham will do shit like this. We turn up against the big teams, and then the smaller teams, I'm saying smaller teams, but the teams you expect to beat. We just decide to be like, oh, we just give them a chance and we just sit back a bit, or we just don't play the football we should be playing.
I do you think we're ready to say that Kyle Walker's legs are gone now?
No. I think he didn't. As much as I've to see Werner just destroy people with his pace.
Well, I mean, he's fast.
He's fast, but I think Kyle Walker wasn't exactly jogging from the get-go, sprinting from the get-go, and he gave him way too much space. And I think if they had more yardage, I think he would have caught him, or at least been close, a lot closer than what it was. But
Man City are flat, full stop.
Well, yeah, I mean, mate, Brendan, bloody Rock Johnson. Brendan Rock Johnson was quality. Yeah, he was so good. Yeah.
Sorry, you calling him Brennan the Rock Johnson, did you just say?
That is what you said.
Yeah. That's what you want to see. You want to see these players that come on. Werner comes on, gets an assist. Brennan Johnson comes on, gets a goal. They're the players that you want to see impact. And that's what worked very well as a whole for Tottenham. Everyone that come on in that game, everyone that played in that game, was just on it. They were just there. I can't moan about anyone in that game, and that's rare for me. Even for Cario, made some great saves, and he was coming off his collecting the ball in the air. Really,
one of his saves for Haaland was very good, wasn't it? Yeah. I think it was down to
the one with his foot. Yeah. I think that was his first second shot. In that game,
yeah, in the first 10 minutes, yeah, as you say, if Haaland scores within the first 10 minutes, that game could be so different. And he had two chances that you'd normally say he finishes. Spurs weathered the storm, got a bit of a go out of nothing, and then, unlike City, to just completely
folded, didn't they?
Yeah,
you say that though, Clive, and not to take anything away from Spurs, but
take City it all away against from them.
Yeah, I mean, I will take a little bit away from it, but they'd done the same against, was it Sparta Prague that they played against?
And they were all over up in that game,
yeah, all over them, went 1-0 up and then capitulated still. So I still think I would have saw that game going the way that it went. Judging from the first 10, 15 minutes of what I saw in that game, I think Spurs are the better team straight away.
From
10 minutes?
I don't.
I thought they were.
I thought Spurs were there for the taking in the first 10 minutes. I thought, this is going to be a long day for Luke.
to be fair, I was quite drunk. Yeah, it was either 10, 15 minutes or 25 minutes.
From 15 minutes onwards, Spurs had obviously got one goal by that point and looked like they were up for it. But I think the first 10 minutes, I was sitting there thinking, if one of these chances goes in, it could be four the other way, literally.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So after that, I mean, they missed their chances. And it's normally the other way around with Tottenham. It's normally us doing that. It's like, we've got possession 10 minutes and not putting it back in there. And then teams going, or we go 1-0 up and then teams just go and smash us or something because of.
We were all worried at 2-0 at half time. Oh, dangerous scoreline there.
Yeah, mate, don't get me wrong. I was sweating a little bit. Yeah. It's Tottenham, mate. It's Tottenham. But yeah, it was solid all round. And I must say, you could either call it the empty head, or you can call it Deki had, because Deku was amazing. And you can just see him all leaving by, 3-0 down? So it was good to see. It's good to see the Man City ain't always going to turn up and just win just by the name. You know?
I mean, the radio's been quite fun to listen to them all fucking cry. It's like they forget that they were really, really, really shit for a long, 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 long time.
They're all going to start supporting Liverpool now.
Everyone keeps saying that they don't want the league to turn out like the German league where it's just Bayern Munich.
That's literally what I say every week. Don't get me wrong, I don't want Spurs winning the league, and I probably would go as far as saying I don't want to see Chelsea win the league anymore.
All right, Clive.
I'd take a Liverpool win over a Man City win at the moment.
Clive, there's one team in the room that you haven't mentioned yet.
I was going to say that's as outrageous as saying Tottenham could win the league, but it's not really. It's probably on the same level, right?
Oh, God, fucking hell, Clive. I'm not even going to fly on that.
Talking about City, though, I do think there's something to be said about these teams that seem to be going at them. They are struggling, aren't they? I think when the teams are giving them too much respect, they seem to get little boring wins. But I feel like these teams that are going at them seem to be playing quite well.
I think they're struggling with their injuries as well. They're defensive mids.
Fuck off, mate.
It's true. They're defensive mids.
No.
Without them, look what happens to them.
No. You've seen their
score. Whoa. I'm going to back Mitchell up here. Rodri's stats. What is it? He lost two games last year? 68 or something like that.
Look, I get that.
They are completely different team.
Out at the moment.
It's always the same with Man City. It's always the same. When Man City get injuries, oh, fuck me, Man City, they're not doing well because of injuries, yeah? But when teams like Tottenham, Arsenal, Chelsea, West Ham, whoever it is, they get injuries, like, oh, well, that's just the way it is. That's just unfortunate. Everyone gets injuries. But Man City get fucking one defensive midfield player.
Well, Kevin De Bruyne has been out for a long time as well.
Mate, they've got $2 billion. Mate,
I agree with you because and it goes back to what Neville was saying when Arsenal played like Liverpool and we had a couple of injuries or whatnot. It's like Gary Neville was banging on about this is when Arsenal needs to show their real character and blah blah blah. They need to get results. Blah blah blah. It's like, well, injuries aren't an excuse. Well, they are. Don't get me wrong, they are. But as you say, Man City have got a huge squad of what most people would. Envy in regards like Kevin De Bruyne was on the bench to start, Grealish was on the bench to start, Nathan Ake was on the bench to start. Like these are like I'm not going to say world class because Grealish and Ake I don't believe are, but they are they walk into most Premier League teams
exactly that. And I think if you look at both teams there, if at the starting lineup on both teams of the Man City, I know you're saying about injuries and stuff, but look at Man City squad now, Tottenham squad, yeah, if who gets in whose team. Yeah, and what Tottenham player gets in that Man City team right now?
And you look at, I don't like doing it, but you look at that Tottenham squad and you go, all right, two very key players, both centre-halves out. Yeah. You're playing with your backup centre-halves. So there's injuries both ways. It's not an excuse.
And how many times have we said, even on this podcast, Man City's B team would beat most teams in the Premier League, right?
Exactly. So that's what I mean. And because a lot of things, they see this, and I see this. Even Alex said on coming out of football, he goes, well, do you reckon Man City just had a bad day? It's like, don't always just take
they've
it.
They've had four in a row.
I was going to say, they've had about 5 weeks.
Exactly. Don't just take it as... like Man City just didn't turn up that day and the other team just got lucky. No, we played some really good football in that game. We took our chances when we needed to. We were solid.
But it's the difference between Spurs against Leicester and Spurs against City, right? You like, don't get me wrong, the possession and stuff like that is completely different. Like Man City dominated the ball like they would at home.
They always do.
But you actually took your chances for once, and that's what you've been asking for pretty much every other game this season.
Oh, exactly that, yeah.
So
we've not been putting him in, and like you look at, I know we're going on a little bit with the Tottenham game, but looking at the stats, aerial duels. I know, we've got to say consistency. So Man City 66%, we only have 33%. We actually made more tackles just because they were, you know, we was on the back foot at the beginning. Possession 57%, total shots they had 23%, we had 9%.
Yeah, but look at you've had 9 shots, but 7 of them are on target.
That's what I mean.
That's incredible.
I know.
They're 23. They only had 5 on target.
That's mental, isn't it? And it's not like Tottenham to do that. And we scored 4 of those. Well, I said it was a good clinical game for Tottenham all round. It was great.
You have got the most goals this season.
Yeah, I know.
Goals for.
He keeps banging on about that.
It's
well,
such a strange team. Because, I can't figure it out.
This is what I'm saying, because people always want to find something in Tottenham to slag down and do whatever. Because yes, we're not in the top 4 at the moment. We're Tottenham, you know.
So the next question is: you still think top 4's? I mean, it's very achievable at the moment.
I think I put Tottenham in the top 4, didn't I?
You did. Yeah.
I did. Yeah,
that's why I'm asking the question.
I'm still sticking with that. The way it's going, it's weird at the moment, Clive. This league. You know, you might need to ask me.
It hasn't settled yet.
It hasn't settled. And I think 8 points is still not enough for Liverpool, in my personal opinion. I really do. I think Christmas will come around, winter, and there'll be like close games, like 3 or 4 games tend to get played in like, or 7 games in 2 weeks or whatever it is. It's some stupid stat normally comes up at Christmas where people get injuries.
I think I touched on it. Like, don't get me wrong. I said last week or the week before, I think 9 points is too much. And then I look at our fixtures and what we've played. And then I look at their fixtures and what they've played. And I just think, well, if we have a good period now, which hopefully we will, because we've got through a lot of hard fixtures. Chasing rather than being chased, I think hopefully gives us a bit of an edge.
Stop training, Clive. Stop dreaming. It's over, man.
We're all football fans, right? We've got a dream.
As much as I love to say it's over for Arsenal because I don't want to win the league, I just think 8 points isn't enough at the moment. I think it's still anyone's game in between those three teams, Man City, Arsenal and from your four teams, Chelsea. If they can keep going. Oh, changing your tune.
Oh, here he is.
I'm looking forward to this one. But I'm done on Tottenham. I could talk for hours for.
Done on them. We're all good. We don't need to keep talking.
It's all right, because Fulham will be above you by the end of next week.
let's not go there. Don't get me started.
If Arsenal win the league this season, I will thank Tottenham for their 4-0 home win, win against City.
So. You're welcome.
So let's go over to their second win of the season, West Ham, or third win? Second or third?
Third win. Yeah.
Lopetegui in.
Not laughing now, are you, bitches?
I think it is the fourth win as well, isn't it?
It's the fourth win, yeah.
Wait, Ipswich, Palace, Newcastle. Who else was there? What was the other one?
Pull up the prediction spreadsheet.
He beat Man United.
Oh, that was it. Yeah, sorry. I completely forgot about them. They're easily forgettable.
Yeah.
What a game.
let's just bear in mind that me, Luke and Mitch have not seen any of it, so it's all on you this.
Okay, well, all I can say is it's the best that we've played all season.
Your by new Barcelona, a long stretch. Right?
Mate, some of the football we were playing was unbelievable. I've been looking for differences, to be honest, throughout that game, and bear in mind I've only watched it live, so I haven't managed to analyse everything that's happened or whatever. Not that I manage to normally either, but I'm just at least got an excuse.
You might actually want to watch it again this time.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I think a big difference in this game was Pakatar turned up. He was brilliant in the midfield. We also started with Soler and Suchek, which I think it might be the second time. I'm not sure if actually Soler's actually started alongside Suchek. But yeah, we were just absolutely brilliant. Like we just completely different to every other game. Everyone looked like they knew what they were doing. Bowen was brilliant, looked up for it. All of them looked up for it. The amount of duels in midfield that we won was...
Aerial duels.
a combination of duels, Luke. Sorry, I don't have the exact stat of aerial duels, much to your disappointment, I'm sure.
I can find it.
I'm sure you can. But yeah, it was just... it was brilliant. And I'm so happy to see it because it... I mean, even in our wins this season, you've got the game against Manchester United, which we was lucky to win, really.
Very lucky, dodgy penny, yeah.
Yeah, Ipswich game, we won 4-0. I still wouldn't say we really set the world alight in that game, to be honest with you. All the other games could have easily gone the other way, is what I mean. Probably minus the Ipswich game, really, because it was too much of a score difference. But I'm not saying that this game was perfect because it wasn't. There were moments in the first half where I nearly shit myself on numerous occasions, just little dodgy decisions in defence. Fabianski had a couple of moments where he took an extra touch and stuff like that. But overall, yeah, it was good to watch, which I have not said.
First goal as well?
Wan-Bissaka's first goal. 68% of his goals are scored against Newcastle. Two of his three Premier League goals.
So he ended the stats.
Yeah. He obviously noted that down as soon as whatever commentator said it. Oh, I like that one.
Actually, I think it was someone in the group chat said that. Like, watch it back, boys. I really enjoyed myself watching it. It was great.
On the radio, on the drive home, they mentioned that there's possible penalty shout for Newcastle for someone pushing Callum Wilson in the back or something like that.
Yeah, Mavropanos, when he came on, as soon as he came, you know how I feel about Mavropanos. He just makes me nervous in general. And to be honest, other than that, he did look quite solid. But yeah, Callum Wilson is one of them where it's going towards... going towards like the, going out of play towards goal. And Callum Wilson's goal side of Mavropanos. Mavropanos has tried to get towards the ball and kind of pulled him a little bit. Could have easily been given. It's a dodgy one, but you know.
Was it push or a pull?
I can't remember, to be honest. I think it was a push.
I mean, if it's a push, pushes in the boxes don't count in Newcastle. So I just want them to remember that.
Actually, I think it might be a pull. But either way, I think it's one of them. You look at it, I wouldn't say it was a dead set. I don't think Callum Wilson's getting to the ball. But equally, it was stupid from Mavropanos, in my opinion.
So possibly got away with one.
Yeah, possibly got away with one. We definitely got away with a couple in the first half. Not in terms of penalties, but in terms of giving the ball up. Like there was one where the ball was played in and Tadebo kind of done like a little loose touch, like pretty much in the 6-yard box, near enough. And thankfully, they didn't finish up. Isak had a couple of chances, which went amiss. But, I mean, Newcastle were a good side, so I wasn't expecting to go in there and, you know, just have it all one way and we would win 2-0. Well, I actually expected. Sorry.
Don't drop points at home very often either, do they? They're very good at home. So.
Yeah. So I didn't think it was ever going to be a perfect game. In fact, I thought it was going to be the complete opposite, judging by my prediction. Yeah, overall, very happy. It was really positive. Let's just hope we can go into the next game doing that, Clive?
Hopefully not. Hopefully you go back to normal.
Well, I'm just telling you right now, if we beat you, then we're only 4 points behind you in the league.
Wow. That's my
say it. Say Arsenal off. But I don't know. You do that during your prediction stage.
Yeah. But who's going to ask me the question now?
The aerial drills was 71%. That's not a question, but
that's not what he wants.
Thanks,
Luke. He wants to be asked if Moyes is in or relegation's happening.
No. I want the top four.
Oh, is that the one you want? Okay. Bob, top four?
That'd be stupid, Clive. But yeah, it was really positive and I'm really happy. In a much better mood tonight than I thought it was going to be.
So, sorry if you've already kind of half touched on it. Was there a style of play? Was there identity?
Yeah. Like, it's hard to pinpoint, right? Because it's kind of how we've tried to play, but we just wasn't very good on the ball in the previous games, if you know what I mean. When I think... I honestly think, looking back on the game, or from what I can remember of it, Paquetá playing well was a massive difference for us because it just allowed us to play the ball so well going forward and it gave them something to worry about when we're going forward. Also, Mikel Antonio had an absolute amazing game. I think he came off in the 75th minute, but he put an absolute shift in. Like, he was just non-stop at him. And that, I think that's literally what we've been lacking in every single game. I said it in the Chelsea game, the Spurs game. There was just no oomph in us, was there, at all? I think you can all agree with that.
Yeah, there's no press. There's no, like... To everyone from an outsider's point of view, it looked like they weren't running for the coach already, which is crazy to say, but that's what it looked like.
Yeah, and I think with Wan-Bissaka getting so far forward, that was an exploit that people were looking at when they were going into West Ham games. But I think
we've touched on it a lot, haven't we? We've said that. That is your, like, when he goes forward, that leaves that left wing for the attacking team so much space.
Yeah. And there did seem to be a lot more cover on that side this time around when Wan-Bissaka was getting forward. There was a couple of occasions where I was getting a little bit nervous where I didn't think Wan-Bissaka was getting back. But I think those around him kind of took that into account more in this game. So yeah, it was really good. But then I kind of had a similar thing against Ipswich with, you know, like we timed our presses a lot better and stuff like that. And then we just went into the next game and it completely fell apart again. But hopefully we've learned something from that game. And obviously it's a difficult game coming up next. I don't know why I'm speaking like I'm one of the players. I'm being very political about this. But yeah, we'll see what happens.
Cool.
So anyone want to? I was going to say they actually listened to our podcast then when we were saying that, you know, there's always space behind Wan-Bissaka because he keeps getting forward. So now that you had cover,
confirm yeah. Lapatogi or whatever his name is a fan.
Either that or Eddie Howe is thick.
What, you've killed Luke?
Oh, he's done.
That was a good one. That was good.
Mitchell, anything to say about West Ham?
I'm just laughing at Bob playing football. Could you imagine?
It'd be great.
I ain't got it, innit?
Mate,
you don't get knackered standing up.
Mate. Don't make me go back into my football career. I've heard about your playing on a Monday night. I'll speak to you afterwards.
You do that, mate.
Right, let's move over to North London and the red side of North London. 3-0 win against Forest. Obviously, going into the game, Forest have had a very good season up until now. I mean, I was still fairly confident with it because we had to turn a corner at some point. The big surprise was the lineup we started with. He put Rice on the bench, and Martinelli on the bench, and Thomas Partey on the bench. Obviously, with the international duty, Kai Havertz was on the bench as well. I wouldn't say I was nervous looking at the lineup either because I still think that the team that we played has got enough to overcome Forest. And if you ask me, like, I don't understand why he didn't start Chris Wood against us. I guess we don't really struggle with big centre forwards anymore like we used to. But it was nice to see a bit of rotation. Marino had his best game in an Arsenal shirt so far. He looked very settled in the team, moved the ball around well. We popped the ball around very nicely in attack. I think Jesus kind of gave us a little bit of a quicker passes and touches and flicks than Havertz usually would, but not saying that Havertz hasn't been very good for us at all. Saka, once again, very good. Odegaard showing what we've missed over the last couple of weeks without him in the team. We couldn't ask for a better result, really. 3-0. Clean sheet. I don't think they had a shot on target, so the defence was solid. I do probably think that's going to be our first choice defence from now on. I know Ben White's out for probably a couple of months with a knee operation, but I think even if Ben White was available, I think this is probably the ideal starting lineup. And a lot of Arsenal fans have kind of been calling for a bit more rotation because the bench players all need a bit more time on the pitch to get fitness, to get sharpness, and the squad's going to play a massive part this season.
Ballsy though, I'll give them that.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't, right? Because if he hadn't made changes, people would say, well, why isn't he making changes? It's not worked for the last 3-4 games. If he does make changes and it doesn't work, people will say, well, he shouldn't have changed it so much.
A home game against Nottingham Forest, you expect? I know the form that they're on.
It's a safer game to rotate players in, for sure. And as I say, we needed players to get minutes. Like the likes of Sterling coming on as well, and Nourari getting his goal is fantastic for the club. Hopefully, we start seeing him trust the bench a little bit more in games where it's not quite going our way. But again, like, goal for Saka, assist for Saka, another assist for Odegaard, 2-2 games now that he's back. So hopefully, as I said a bit earlier, we can now start pushing on and really start to pick up points and march onwards and upwards. We've got Sporting Lisbon tomorrow, which obviously after they beat City in the last round of Champions League games is going to be an interesting game. But yeah, there wasn't really much controversy in the game. I've seen some people moaning about our first goal being disallowed, which would have been Julian Timber's first goal for the club. But it looked offside from the lines they drew. But
we all know my opinions on officiating and woe it's me and go on Mitchell. and we were able to keep 10 men on the pitch, which is always good
for Arsenal.
We got some early bookings, huh?
Yeah, Jorginho, like, again, me being a biased Arsenal fan, being nearly and picky, Jesus got a yellow card for his first tackle, Jorginho got a yellow card, which, yeah, he did put his hands on the player, but the player went down very easy, like, soft, and Saka got, I can't even remember what Saka got a yellow card, oh, a high foot when the player ducked into it, but...
Yeah, talk to me about yellow cards, Claire.
You boys love them. Yeah, it was just for once a nice plain sailing game, really. As I say, I'm happy for the subs as well. Sterling getting an assist after coming on. Hopefully, gives them all a bit of confidence. Not having to bring Rice on at all was nice. I think he broke his toe against. I think he broke his toe against Newcastle, so hopefully he gets a little bit of rest. And Thomas Partey looked good when he came on in the number six role. Oh, yeah, well, it was a great goal. So let's keep going. Let's keep going, boys.
Fuck Arsenal.
I mean, I agree with you. I agree, but oh, mate, I hate to say this. I really do hate to say this. Fucking Odegaard and Saka at the moment.
They just understand each other, right?
It's ridiculous.
They just know how to play to each other. And like, as I say, like when we've, so without Odegaard, like even against Chelsea and in a couple of the last games, I don't know what we've been trying to do with Havertz and Trossard, because they've both kind of been playing a false 9/10 role and swapping between them. And it just really didn't, it wasn't fluid, it wasn't balanced, it didn't really work. But as like, and I say, I don't think we personally like struggled without Odegaard up until like the last two matches, either the Milan game and the Chelsea game. But that is when, not the Chelsea game, the game before, because he played against Chelsea, the Newcastle game. But the other thing as well is Mourinho coming into the team. We had a bit, like when Rice first joined, where we didn't really have the balance with Rice in the team. And it's going to be interesting to see what the squad's like with Odegaard, Mourinho, Rice and Partey all available. See what he does. Because like, I think at the moment with Mourinho and Rice playing when they've played together, it hasn't looked right. It's going to be interesting, but again, even if you've got one of those three on the bench in regards to Mourinho, Partey or Rice, you're bringing quality on, so it's a good problem to have, right?
Yeah, you got a good squad depth looking at the bench. Nwari's obviously still young, you know, Zinchenko experience, Partey experience, Martinelli, Havertz, Sterling, Rice, yeah. Fucking hell.
And that's without Tomiyasu, Ben White. We've got more coming back as well eventually. Even Nwari, I think I called him out before the start of the season, and I think I've said a couple of times he's looking like a promising young player. The more and more he gets minutes, it hopefully will then give Arteta another player to trust when he wants to take Odegaard off, because Nwari can play in that number 10 role just behind a striker. He's very good with the ball at feet. He doesn't seem to lack any confidence. He can play the quick passes. Exciting. It's very exciting. The problem for Nwari is Odegaard is just a step above. He's probably within one or three players in the league of that kind of number 10 kind of player that could get into every other team other than Man City, because I mean they've got Kevin De Bruyne, who's probably been the best at that in the last 10 years, right? So,
but like you say, that's when it's down to Arteta to trust the bench, isn't it?
Yeah.
And start giving him minutes in these kind of games.
Yeah, give him minutes in these games, and we're still in the Carling Cup. Give him minutes in the FA Cup, and hopefully he comes on. But again, the problem for him will be over the next three or four seasons when he's 18, 19, 20, he's still got Odegaard in front of him, right? So he's gonna probably run into that problem that Smith Rowe had in regards to actually getting chances and playing consistently. So it's going to be a good headache once again. But
we'll take him.
It'll be a fill-up in 2 years, mate.
You've got plenty of tens yourself, don't you? So, do you know who could do with him? A Newcastle. They lack a number 10.
Don't start dissing Newcastle now, just because they lost against West Ham.
Fucking beat Arsenal, lose to West Ham. What's that about?
So the fucking frustrating thing about this, Clive, is I can't actually slag Arsenal down.
You can always do that, Luke.
I can't really. They won cleanly. Yeah,
they beat Tottenham as well. So.
Well, I mean, I can't fucking bear it. You got lucky. There you go. Then you can start me off if you want there.
Let's move on to Chelsea, yeah. Leicester, unless anyone else wants to talk about Arsenal, because I can talk about them all night.
Yeah, fuck Arsenal.
All right, Chelsea, Leicester, Mitch, you'll go.
Chelsea. I can sum up. Sorry. Excuse me. I can sum up the game in one sentence, right? We dominated that game, but unconvincingly. It's the best way I can put it. It's almost like we didn't want to win, or I'll tell you what it is. It's almost like someone's listening to this podcast and they heard what AI predicted and they were thought, right, we need to make this happen. The first half was fantastic. There was no fault in the first half. We looked incredible. My boy Jackson, my favourite striker.
Oh, fucking hell.
Do you know, it was a lovely first goal, and not just the strike.
It was good.
Maybe poor defending, but his strength to hold the defender off and get the ball
that touch was good.
Yeah, he's looking.
You
confident.
Don't deserve him.
Maybe I don't deserve him, but Chelsea deserve him. He's impressive. I'm enjoying watching him.
Confidence, mate. Confidence.
Yeah, it definitely is. Definitely is confidence. And then the fucking Ndidi challenge. The studs. Oh my god! Do you know when I looked at it and I thought, he's not even tried to go for the ball there. You can see his right foot nowhere near the ball.
Yeah, the ball's on the left side.
On the left side. And he's stamped down on his Achilles. And then his left leg has gone to slide for the ball. That's malicious. I don't understand how he stayed on the pitch. Soft. How are you not overturning that? You can fuck right off.
Was that early in the game though, Mitch?
It was first half, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was like 30 minutes.
But that's bollocks. I don't care what it is.
No, I agree with you. You could have put him out for the season.
That you could have snapped his fucking.
But sometimes I think we all know this, don't we? Referees tend to don't
ref
always.
The game.
Well, yeah, but they don't always give that.
Yeah, but then why is VAR there?
Your guess is as good as mine, mate.
Honestly, that's the dirtiest challenge.
Oh, woe is me. Yeah.
It's the dirtiest challenge. They could have had two reds in that first half because there was
two penalties in the second half.
No, Clive. Absolutely not. We'll get to that. All right. Absolutely not. But there's another challenge on Felix. I think it was Samari.
Slide tackle, wasn't it?
It's slide tackle. Showing. An uncontrolled slide tackle. Studs up, body in the air. And he's gone through the back of him.
No,
you can't do that anymore.
I don't think that was as
you need to look at it again.
As much as the first.
I think if either one is going to be, Ndidi should have been a red card.
Ndidi is a red. I think the yellow card was the right call.
But
they were
two filthy fucking challenges. What are you doing, dirty bastards? And then the only other thing that happened was our offside goal, which was a shame it was offside because it was a lovely bit of play. It was a Palmer pass and then a Cucurella crossing and Nonny Madueke putting it away, but he was just offside, which was a shame. And then the second half. The fucking second half.
It was like, for me watching it, like I was thinking this is a typical Saturday 12:30 kickoff.
Yeah.
It's just like, you started, as you say, you start well, you start like... Here we go. Like, and the first again, 15, 20 minutes, I kept thinking any time that Leicester goalkeeper's got the ball, it looks like Chelsea are going to score.
Yeah.
They could not keep the ball. They just gave it back to you
again and again. Over them in that first half.
Again and again. Yeah. They didn't have any out ball. And that's not Vardy's fault. It was Leicester were not finding anyone at all.
They were awful.
And the press was good from Chelsea. Like, you made them make mistakes.
But then we should have done more. We should have got more in that first half. Well, yeah, but
I think that come into it. I think players thought, well, we're winning this, boys. Don't worry about this.
I think they were expecting the same in the second half, and they were sorely mistaken. I mean, you know, we do get the second goal, which was nice. Little diving header from Jackson, and then Enzo pops it away.
So my note about that is, surely you're kicking the ball out of play.
Who?
Chelsea. Unless the player was down.
Here we go again. Oh, yeah.
I think there was one that had happened before that, and we'd done
You didn't kick out of play as well.
No, we did.
For a while.
But fuck that shit. You're not obliged to do it. Fuck them. And then you go and get the goal.
My other note is Cucurella is the most Spanish player in the league at the moment. He loves to roll around, doesn't he?
He loves
it. He's the typical Spanish player right now.
I wouldn't like him if he didn't play for Chelsea. But he's playing well for Chelsea this season. He's another one that's impressed.
That's a great header from Jackson in the second goal, isn't it? To be fair.
It was a great header. Nice diving header. Shame he didn't finish it himself, but he gets the assist for Enzo, so... Yeah, that was nice. And Enzo, he's come in.
He does not get the assist.
What do you mean he doesn't get the assist?
Goalkeeper saved it.
No,
he didn't play it to Enzo.
Well, on Fantasy League, he got the assist.
On Premier League, he has not.
Unlucky. You're on the wrong app, mate. I'd have to check that, Clive. But he definitely got the points in the...
Are you sure it went like player of the game or something? Extra points.
Or after 60 minutes.
No, it says assist.
BBC assist. Report. BBC.
No, you didn't get an assist. If it's not the goalkeeper, it's not an assist.
Well, I've got 3 points from somewhere. But no, he impressed anyway. He did well to fucking get that chance in the first place. And then the penalty shout, the first penalty shout. I'm sorry, Clive. I know straight away in that group chat. Oh, it's a fucking penalty that is there. Hear it in your typing voice. It's not a penalty. It's not a penalty. Listen. The defender, who is it? Colwill stands his ground. He doesn't move his foot, his toe. He doesn't move his shoelace. He doesn't move anything into the path of the attacking player.
It's obstruction then.
It's not obstruction. It's not obstruction. The player has literally run into him, not him blocking him off.
He's the player's
watch it in motion. No, it's not a penalty.
The player's beating him, and then
you can't just run into someone and fall over.
Who fucking can in football, mate?
Well, it didn't work for him. That was never a penalty. It's not, mate.
I'll have to watch this again. To be fair, I'll come.
If that was Arsenal, can you go and get the fucking eye of that snare? Look, you're looking it up.
I'm just trying to, do you know what minute it was, give or take?
Second half.
Like maybe the 80th, something.
Yeah,
like
it was because it was. Yeah, because their second one was the 95th, so I think it was near the end of the game. And this is when I started shitting myself because I'm thinking, we've dominated this game. Why are we now struggling? They've got no right getting anything out of this game. They didn't deserve anything out of this game. We just hadn't buried it. Oh, I mean, even 2-0, you'd think.
That's a tough one.
We made hard work that last 10 minutes.
I'm just, he's smart. That's a penalty. Okay.
Smart, is it? It's not a penalty.
No, you know
what
he's done.
The day. Don't agree with me.
He's stopped. He's not technically put his leg out, but it's hard. It's a hard one, but he's sort of like stopped there, so he's like obstructing him. It's like it's hard to explain what he's done. You know what Kane does?
Crouch, Crouchy and Joe Cole said it was a penalty as well.
I was upset Joe Cole said it. I'd like to see if he'd ever have looked and changed his mind.
He watched a lot of replays of it already.
By the way, if you're following the ball, you would turn around and run towards the ball as well. He stays. No, he didn't.
Yeah, but listen, this is all happening in milliseconds. It's happening in milliseconds.
So he goes stop and he keeps his leg like a little bit to the left and back and on the floor. Mate, you know he does, but it's so subtle. No, it's so subtle. That's what strikers do. They do like a subtle.
Well, and that's the thing is the Leicester player doesn't try to win it. Like the Leicester player is not throwing.
It's a natural action
towards the defender.
No, he's throwing his body towards the defender.
He's beating him.
He's like, I know. No, because there's another Chelsea defender there, right? So he's like, I know. I've done well to get the ball past him, but I'm not getting that ball.
So the Chelsea player hasn't got. The Chelsea player hasn't got the time to decide in the milliseconds that it happened to get out of the way. But the Leicester player does have the time in the milliseconds to think.
Of course he does. He's the one that tapped the ball.
I ain't getting that ball.
He taps the ball. He knows
what he's doing. Cornwall knows what he's doing.
That is 100% a penalty.
You're crazy.
I'm looking at the second one now.
You guys, honestly, if it was for your clubs. Second one's definitely a penalty. No, absolutely not.
I'm just checking that again.
No, he did. I can't remember who it was, but he definitely caught him. Was it a sub that came on? I can't remember who it was.
Should have been a red card as well, shouldn't it?
Fuck off. You're outrageous.
Denial of a clear goal scoring opportunity.
You're in fucking denial. It shouldn't have. No, I'll tell you why it shouldn't have, because AI predicted 2-1. And that's the only reason that happened. That's the only reason that last 10 minutes happened. I don't know, man. I don't know. Chelsea, we're fucking weird, aren't we? I mean, yeah, we look comfortable and then uncomfortable very, very quickly against a team that had no right to get anything out of that, which obviously they didn't in the end, but it was squeaky bum time for 10 minutes at the end and it didn't need to be. So,
yeah I agree. I think you kind of rid your luck at the end of the game, but you made it all yourself. Like you never got out of second gear, really.
Yeah. I don't know what they were expecting in that second half, but they went off the boil a bit.
And I think I saw a headline that they sacked Steve Cooper.
Really?
I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah. I heard that. Yeah.
I don't know if it's BBC official yet, but I read it somewhere.
Yeah, let's cut this off the Leicester's main website. Leicester City Park Company with Steve Cooper.
Interesting. Moise.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't know what Leicester were expecting this season.
I mean, they're not in the relegation zone. I mean, I'd still tip them to probably go down. Did I tip them?
No, I don't think you did.
I don't think I did.
No, because there's other shitters around there.
Yeah, there is. I mean, Wolves are starting to get a couple of results now. Palace were a bit unlucky to draw, but still drew.
Ipswich have been looking really good.
Yeah, I mean, they made their own problems. If you saw Southampton against Liverpool, all three goals they gifted them. So. Cool. Well, anybody else want to...
Fuck Chelsea.
Chucking on Chelsea? So top four, Mitchell. Secured.
I mean, we're still the highest London club in the Premier League at the moment.
You are so, currently.
You know, no, you played. Stay humble.
Beginning to sound more and more like a Spurs fan as the weeks go on.
Fucking hell!
I've got blue and white in their badges as well.
I think you did.
Yeah, we did it first.
Arsenal also had blue and white in their badge. FYI. No, we like winning things. Right, so man,
it's expensive that one to kick off. Not gonna lie,
it's getting
late. So I'm not even going to bother to go over the England results. I think one of us got the first.
I got the
one
second
right,
one right,
and then one of us got
Five
the second
nil.
One right.
I Nobody cares, one right. Bob. All right.
Did I get the first one? No, no, I didn't. I said 3.
It was 3-1 the first game.
Well, I got that right then, didn't I?
No way, it was 3-0.
So let's recap. So let's recap the predictions that did not air. Bob predicted a 2 1-2 Newcastle win, didn't you? Or 2-0 Newcastle win. So got 0 points.
You here, boy?
Luke predicted a 2-1 Tottenham win. So got one realistic. So got 1 point.
Fucking Tottenham.
Mitch predicted a 3-1 Chelsea win.
Why didn't I go 2-1?
Clive predicted a 3-1 Arsenal win. So we both get 1 point.
AI,
if you hadn't guessed, Mitchell gave it away, predicted a 2-1 Chelsea win.
You fucked it right up, Mitchell.
Fucking hell.
You keep losing points to AI. You are the one that gives them all the points at the moment, Mitch.
Well, yeah, but I feel like I'm going up the table, so it doesn't matter.
I'll tell you the table in a minute, and you have gone up the table.
Oh.
So it predicted a 1-1 draw, Arsenal Forest, so got 0 points. It predicted a 3-1 Man City win.
Unlucky.
So got 0 points. And it predicted a 2-1 Newcastle win. So got 0 points.
Can you ask AI if they're embarrassed by their prediction?
Are you sure you would do that?
They are still, overall, they are still on 47.
That's criminal.
27. So I don't think they are. If I'm
we ain't honest. Robots, though. So.
Well, so yeah, AI 42 points, humans 27 points. The league table, there has been a change. Mitchell top on 8 points.
Wait, no, I'm top on goal difference.
Joint level. I'm top on goal points.
Yeah. Oh, look at us.
Clive is second on 6 points. And Luke is fourth on 5 points.
Yeah, mate.
It's
getting there.
Oh, Luke, I can't wait to see you in an Arsenal top.
Oh, fuck off, mate. How am I supposed to predict 4-0 against Man City? Fuck off.
Have confidence in your team, mate.
Yeah, yeah.
Be confident. Fucking hell.
You should have heard him before the fucking podcast started.
Oh, no.
He literally said, I'm never going to predict the Tottenham loss.
Nope.
he's not going to do it all season.
All season.
Well, listen, just... Be brave.
Listen.
Go, yeah, I've done it again, haven't I? Fuck you, Clive. Go brave and put Fulham 1-0.
So.
No.
Luke.
Yeah.
Tottenham at home to Fulham.
3-0 win.
Oh, you're going to lose 1-0.
Probably.
Can I get a bonus point if they lose 1-0?
No.
You don't get no bonus.
Wait, do I get a bonus point if Liverpool win the league for calling it the beginning?
You don't get no bonus points.
Oh, fucking ass bullshit.
Smith Rowe will score, so at least get one goal for them.
Smith Rowe get injured.
Aston Villa. Chelsea at home to Aston Villa.
I hope you do me last. I'm struggling with this one, Clive.
Excellent. I'm not going to try to influence you, but they are struggling after Champions League games, and it is a Champions League week.
Yeah, and they've not been great their last 4 games. But then we're a bit hit and miss.
Fuck off, mate.
What?
How are you hit and miss? You're third in the league.
Okay, so, yeah, all right. But the last 5 results for us, win, draw, win, loss. The last 5 of them is draw, loss, draw, win.
Yeah, so you beat.
So I'm just like, oh, fuck me. Do I be brave?
Yes.
Because I'll be honest, right? My initial thought was 1-1.
They play Juve midweek, Wednesday night. I know you play Thursday night, but you change your whole entire team, so it doesn't even matter.
What day do we play them?
Sunday, because you play on Thursdays.
I'm going to go 2-1 Chelsea. We are at home as well. Oh, I've got a feeling it's going to be a draw, though.
Come on to Villa.
Fuck you.
I predict 2-0 Villa.
Here we go. You're the home team. West Ham v Arsenal. What are you saying?
West Ham are going to win 2-0.
it's like a win, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah.
Excellent. I am going to go. I'm not going to go as outrageous as we've done you last season, but I am going to go 3-0 Arsenal.
Mate, you ain't watched the highlights. He ain't watched the highlights yet.
I'm not quaking in my boots. Right, AI. Talk amongst yourselves.
Is Kudo back for the Arsenal game?
Kudo.
I don't believe so. Couscous.
Mate, for fuck's sake, mate.
Judo.
Judo.
I don't think he is, no. I think he's still out. I think he's still got another game, which would probably be the Arsenal game. I think. I don't know. I always forget. Somerville has been playing really well, to be honest.
It'd be interesting, that game, because obviously Somerville plays down the left side, right, at the moment.
Yeah. I think it's one of them where he's kind of
attacking.
Yeah.
He's going to be attacking Timber and Saka's side. So I don't know how good he is at tracking back. I don't know if he's going to leave space there. But the other interesting one will be if Martinelli's up against Wan-Bissaka and Wan-Bissaka keeps pushing forward.
Yeah, that's going to be an issue for sure.
I mean, Wan-Bissaka, like one-on-one defensively, is fantastic. But if there's space there, the last person you want to give space is Martinelli because of his pace.
Yeah, but mate, it's going to be a Julian Lopetegui masterclass. He's thought about all this already. He's examined it.
I'm sure he has. Or if not, he's listening to this podcast getting coaching tips.
Exactly. I mean, something must have gone right.
Right, I've got the predictions are in. So, starting with West Ham v Arsenal. Prediction, Arsenal to win 2-1.
Oh, fuck it.
Rationale, Arsenal have returned to form with a recent 3-0 win over Nottingham Forest, ending the winless streak. Despite injury concerns, including Trossard's hamstring issue, their attacking depth remains strong. West Ham currently 14th in the league, obviously before tonight's match. Have struggled defensively, conceding 18 goals in 11 matches.
West Ham are still 14th in the league, by the way. Yeah.
Oh, excellent. Well done. Well done, AI.
Oh,
AI. Chelsea versus Aston Villa. Chelsea to win 2-0.
Oh.
Chelsea are in good form with 19 points from 11 matches, obviously not taking into consideration this weekend's results, and have been solid defensively. Aston Villa, on the other hand, have been inconsistent and currently 16th in the league. I don't think they are 16th, are they?
No, they're 8th.
Chelsea's home advantage and Villa's struggles suggest a comfortable win for the Blues.
Interesting.
Tottenham v Fulham. Tottenham to win 3-1.
Ooh.
Tottenham are coming off a significant 4-0 victory over Man City, boosting their confidence. Despite the injury to the goalkeeper, so nice about the injury today. Oh, look at that. They're attacking prowess.
Prowless
intact.
they do prowless, to be fair. Prowless.
Fulham, currently 7th, have been inconsistent and may struggle against Tottenham's offensive strength.
Fulham are 9th.
So yeah, it knows some stuff, but it doesn't know the rest.
It's just on the sauce,
it's a must win for us next week.
Yeah, but you're fucking stupid. I can't stand Tottenham. You'll lose. I'll tell you now. Win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. That's what you do.
Well, okay, then we'll take that and then we beat Chelsea the week after.
You probably will. It's fucking outrageous. Turn up for the top quality yard games, don't you?
I guess if we lose, it must be a shit team we're playing against it.
Oh, you done me.
Just waiting for someone to say Arsenal.
Oh, you said it.
Right. Any other business anyone else want to dob in? It's 11:15, so I mean, I'm happy to wrap it up.
Yeah.
So,
nice hint, Clive.
Yeah. Say, you know, everybody.
No.
Cool. We're ending it. Good night.
Good night.
Bye. London is blue.
And claret.
And red and white. Fuck off.